ॐ ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डलवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। So we are in the 13th shloka. So Shankara in the previous shlokas, he explained as to how the Purusha cannot be the same as the body, because both are contrary in nature. The Purusha is asangaha, Purusha is all pervasive, whereas Deham is limited, Deham is sangam, Deham has sangam. Purusha is Prakasham, Prakasha Swarupam, whereas Deha is Jada Swarupam. Therefore, Purusha cannot be the same as the body. So Shankara continues the same comparison, but he enters into the different bodies. So Vedanta accepts three bodies that a person has. The first is the Stula Shariram that we perceive. Stula Shariram is the body made of gross objects, made of the Panchabhutas of Akasham, Agni, Akasham, Vayu, Agni, Jalam and Prithivi. So that body which is made up of gross objects is called a Stula Shariram. Stulam means gross. And that body, the second body, is the Sushma Sharira, subtle body. Subtle body consists of the sense organs, the five sense organs of perception, the five organs of action, the Pancha Pranas, the five Pranas of Prana, Pana, Vyana, Samana, Udhana, then the Antakarnam. Generally, it's considered as three parts, or the Manas, Buddhi and Ahankaram, and in some cases only Manas, Buddhi. Depending on that, the Sushma Sharira has 18, 17 or 19 parts in some cases. So Sushma Sharira is the subtle body which is composed of the sense organs, the various organs, external organs which are the sense organs, the Pranas, as well as the internal organs or Antakarnam. Then the third body is the Karana Shariram. Karanam, that is causal body, which is the cause of the other two bodies. This is ignorance. Ignorance is the causal body. It is called the causal body because, or the Karana Shariram, because it is the Karanam for the Sukshma and Stula Sharira. It is that which causes the Sukshma and Stula Sharira to be born. So if there isn't any ignorance, then Sushma Sharira as well as Stula Sharira will not be there. It is because of ignorance that Stula Sharira and Sukshma Sharira seem to be perceived, seem to be existent, are considered to be real, and thereby mixed with the Atman. So Shankara, after explaining that the body cannot be the Atman, gets into the explanation of Stula Sharira and Sukshma Sharira. Ajnanam or Karana Shariram is not never an object, because Ajnanam is beyond perception. Ajnanam can be known only by one's experience that I am ignorant. It is only Anubhavam which proves Ajnanam, whereas Sukshma Sharira or Stula Sharira can be proved through many logic. Ajnanam, let's say I say I am ignorant. So I am ignorant about mathematics. So I am ignorant about something. When I say I am ignorant about something, when I say I am ignorant about mathematics, that means I know mathematics to an extent, so that I know I am ignorant of it. That means I know mathematics, yet I am ignorant of mathematics, which is contrary in nature, contradictory in nature, which cannot be real. Therefore, Ajnanam can never be explained. It is called Anirvachaniyam, inexplicable. It is only Anubhavam. A person knows that I am ignorant. Whereas the sthula sharira and sukshma sharira can be explained. Therefore, Shankara doesn't enter into negation of tajnanam or the karana shariram. He enters into negation of the sthula sharira and the sukshma sharira from the Atman, from Ishvara. Even as when the effect of pot vanishes, the pot can vanish in two cases. The pot can vanish when the nama rupam vanishes, and second, when the cause of mud also vanishes. And in the case of ajnanam, ajnanam can never always remain in its causal state. There are things which can never be in its causal state for long. For example, the seed of a tree, it is in a causal state. It has a tree in it, which is its effect. It can never be in the causal state for long. It will have to sprout and come, the tree would come out. Similarly, ajnanam is something, as I said, ajnanam is anubhavam, yet ajnanam cannot remain in its dormant form. It has to get up. It's like telling that I am sleeping, but I can't sleep for long. Why? I'll have to get up. I can't sleep for a long period of time. Sleep is what is the state where of ignorance, where ignorance alone is there. That cannot remain for long. That's the reason why we don't know how long we are ignorant, how long we are sleeping, because we wake up. And when we wake up, it's as if 1 minute or 1 second has passed. So ajnanam cannot be present as itself, but it can only be perceived as effect. The moment ajnanam is there, the very next moment ajnanam gets transformed into its effect of sthula and sukshma sharira. So therefore, when we say that the effect of sukshma sharira and sthula sharira is not there, or it is negated from the Atman, then by itself ajnanam also would be negated. Because only when ajnanam has been negated, sthula and sukshma sharira can vanish. So this may seem a little bit tricky, because we can have the pot, the mud is the cause, pot is the effect. Without the pot, the mud still exists, mud can exist. But mud can no longer, it's only a way of explaining, an analogy to explain the concept of cause and effect. With ajnanam, with the cause of ajnanam and the effect of sthula and sukshma sharira, it cannot be in its dormant state. So either the effects are there, or both effect and cause are not there. So that's the reason why Shankara doesn't enter into karana shariram negation, but enters into negation of sthula sharira and sukshma sharira from the Atman. As I said, like, though in the dream, in the deep sleep state, we only have ajnanam, we don't have any body, we don't have the sthula sharira or the sukshma sharira, yet we don't know how long we are there. It's as if 1 second passing. That means no time we are in the ajnana avastha. Ajnanam as dormant cannot remain for long, cannot remain even for a second. The very next second, it gets transformed into the sthula and sukshma sharira. So Shankara starts into that analysis and negates the sthula sharira in the 38th shloka and the karana sharira in the 39th shloka, and then concludes by telling in the 40th shloka that Purusha or the Atman is that which is devoid of these both shariras, distinct from these both shariras. That is what the way of negation. The shariras never really exist. So once a person negates it from the Atman, then they are non-existent. The very existence for the body, for the various bodies, is because of their superimposition with the existing Atman. The Atman alone, or Chit, as we discussed, Chit alone has the sense of experiencing things, giving existence to things. So shariras exist only as long as they are superimposed on the Atman, which exists. So something cannot exist unless there is a substratum which is existing. So these shariras, when we negate these shariras from the Atman, that very moment they cease to exist. At least we will have the knowledge that they are not real, they are temporary, they are only mithya, they seem to exist like the water that seems to exist in desert which never really exists. So Shankara enters, first negates the sthula sharira from the Atman.
Proktopi karma kandena hyatma dehad vilakshanah nityashcha tatphalam bhumte dehapatadanantaram.
So prokto api, proktaha has been explained, api also, karma kandena, by karma kandam as well. So till now Shankara was giving logic to prove that the sharira is distinct from the Atman. Now he says karma kandena api, by karma kanda, by the karma kanda statements of the shruti, proktaha api, it has also mentioned, what it has mentioned, he surely atma, the Atman, deha vilakshanah, is different, vilakshanah, different from the deham, deha, from the deha. So by the karma kanda as well, it has been mentioned that the atma is different from the deha. So till now Shankara was using logic, so he says even the karma kanda portion of the shruti explained. So shruti scriptures can be split into either two kandam or three kandam. Some people explain it, split it into two kandam. Some people explain it into three, split it into three kandam. Two kandam, when we split, it is karma kandam and the jnana kandam. Karma kanda explains various rituals as to how to do, what to do, why to do, what would be the effect that a person gets by doing those. Whereas the jnana kandam speaks about the knowledge about Atman. Karma kandam speaks about fruits which are not eternal or which are non-eternal, which are temporary. Whereas jnana kandam speaks about that fruit of moksha, that fruit of anandam, which is eternal. So those are the two kandams. When we put it into three kandam, when we split the scriptures into three kandam, then it becomes karma kandam, upasana kandam and jnana kandam. Karma kandam as usual speaks about rituals. Upasana kandam speaks about rituals for upasana, for various upasana, for various worship, for various meditations, so that a person gains concentration. Once a person gains concentration, then jnana kandam would become effective. So through the karma kanda, his mind is purified, mental purity. Chittasya shuddhaye karma natu vastu palabdhaye. Karma is only meant to purify the mind when it is performed with the right attitude. Ishwararpitam naichayakritam chittashodakam. So with the karma kanda, the mind becomes pure. With the upasana kanda, the mind becomes focused so that it is not extroverted, it is introverted, it is focused, it is concentrated, it becomes, gains power. And through the jnana kandam, jnanam, a person gains paroksha jnanam. And since the mind is purified and it is focused, aparoksha jnanam is converted into aparoksha jnanam or moksha. So Shankara here says that there can be also an objection that jnana kandam does speak about various logics of the Atman being different from the Deham. And Shankara or Vedanta is that portion, that part of the scripture which forms the jnana kandam. So Shankara is a follower of jnana kandam, therefore his logic is not the entirety of the scriptures. It's not the main import of the scriptures because we have the karma kandam as well. So Shankara says it is not the case. Even karma kanda portion of the shastra prove that the Atman is different from the deha. So how does it prove that the Atman is different from the deha? Karma kandena proktopi. Okay, you said deha atma deha dilakshana. Atma is different from the deha. How does the karma kanda prove it? It proves by giving this in the same way, giving contrary nature to both Deha as well as Sharira. So Atma is Nityascha, Nityaha Cha. Atma is Nityam, Atma is eternal, Atma is ever living. And Tat Phalam Bhunte. Tat Phalam means Dehasya Phalam. So the Atman Bhunte enjoys Dehasya Phalam, the fruits of actions or karma done by the Deha. Deha Patat Anantaram. Anantaram, afterwards, Deha Patat means when after the Deha vanishing. So the Atman is Nityam, Atman is eternal, and it enjoys the fruits of the actions performed by the body even after the body vanishes, even after the body is lost. That is the very basis for karma. The law of karma says that any action that you do, you need to get a reaction. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Newton was obviously copying from the scriptures, though the current day scientists cannot acknowledge that fact. Yet the scriptures, Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures from time immemorial, have been speaking about the law of karma. Newton just discovered and put it into a law in the modern day English language, and people started following it. Shastra says long before itself that the law of karma, that a person, when if you do an action, you need to reap the benefit of the action or get the phalam. Karmam, wherever there is karma, there is also phalam. You have to enjoy the phalam. If you are the karta, you will have to be the bhokta of the phalam. So let's analyze this a little bit. It's a logical analysis that Shankara explains here. He doesn't go into too much analysis or give logical reasons, but he is using a logical reason indirectly here. So that what Shankara says here simply is that the Atman is eternal and it lives after the Deha vanishes because it enjoys the fruits of the action done by the Deha long after the Deha vanishes. So let's assume that the Deha is the body. Deha is the Atman. So if Deha is the Atman, then when I die, action and fruit has to end. That means the moment I die, I should have reaped the benefit of all the action, reaped the fruits of all the actions that I have done in my life. But we know for sure that we do some actions, either mentally or physically, and we don't get the fruit of that action. We die before we get the fruit of some actions, at least some actions. If not majority of the action, at least some of the action we do not get the fruit before we die. That means if the body was the Atman, then once the body dies, the Atman dies. That means actions end there. Actions and their fruits also end there, which means we will be left with few actions which haven't given us fruit. This is called Krita Hani. Krita Hani. Krita means done or performed action. Hani means destruction. So if the body is the Atman, Krita Hani happens. Destruction of actions which haven't given fruit will happen. That deviates from the law of karma, that any karma should give fruit. So for this reason, the Atman cannot be the body. If the Atman is the body, there will be some action for which we haven't got fruit. So Krita Hani. Not only Krita Hani. This is considering the death of the body. Death of the body. But birth of the body. If we consider the birth of the body, we are born with some instincts. We are born with some things. If we consider simple things, then some people are born in good environment, some people are born in bad environment. So that environment is something which we are born with. It is not something we have earned. We earn good parents. How do we earn? Did we really earn it? If the body is the Atman, when the body is born, the Atman is born. That means there are no actions which we have done previously for which we get the fruit when we are born, just born. But the baby who is born today, this very moment, it still gains some fruits. Those fruits will not have any actions performed because the body is newly born. So when you are newly born, you reap some fruits for which you haven't done action. So this is called akrita abhyagamam. Abhyagamam means gaining or attaining. Akritam means not done actions. So undone actions, fruits of undone actions will be enjoyed if Deha is the Atman. So Krita Hani as well as Akrita Abhyagamam. Because of these two reasons, these two illogical situations will happen if the body is the Atman. Therefore, the body is not the Atman. This is how the Karma Kandam speaks about law of karma, from which we can deduce that the Atman is not the Deha. The Deha is not the Atman. Both are not the same. So it's the same thing that Shankara gives here. But Shankara says that the Atman benefits the fruits of actions even after the body dies. This means when we are born newly, we reap benefit of actions which we haven't done in this birth. Which means we have accumulated our Sanchita Karma. That is what is called as Sanchita Karma. We have accumulated some karma in the past, in the previous body, and after that body has vanished, we reap the benefit with this new body. Therefore, because of this reason, the Stula Sharira is not the Atman. The Atman is not the Stula Sharira. So Shankara continues this analysis with the Linga Shariram or the Sukshma Shariram. The Sukshma Shariram is also called the Linga Shariram. Ideally, Linga Shariram, we have already discussed that Linga means that which stands for, denotes. Linga Shariram is that in which the Atman gets reflected. We know that the Atman or the Self gets reflected, original consciousness gets, Kotastha gets reflected in the intellect, which is part of the Sukshma Sharira and becomes the Jiva. So that is why this denotes or stands for the Atman, stands or it has a presence of the Atman through which we can reach the Atman. Therefore it is called as Linga Sharira as well. So in the next shloka, Shankara says as to give the reason as to why the Linga Sharira is not the Atman. So the Stula Sharira, Shankara has already explained. Linga Sharira, he gives a different logic to prove that. Lingam chaneka samyuktam chalam drishyam vikaricha avyakamam avyapakam asadrupam tatkatam syat pumanayam. So Linga Shariram, the Lingam, Linga Shariram cha, this Linga Shariram and is aneka samyuktam. It consists of many parts. Samyuktam, samyogam means association, we can say a collection. It has many parts. We know that, we have already discussed that Linga Shariram consists of either 17 or 18 or 19 parts. So it is a collection of all these parts. That means it has parts. But the Atman, we know that it is one alone. Atman is ekam. Ekam eva advitiyam. So it is ekam, whereas Linga Shariram is aneka samyuktam. The Linga Shariram is chalam. Chalam means volatile, changing. Because it's simple to find out. At some point of time, we have the mind acting when we are in doubts. At some point of time, we are convinced. That is when the intellect acts. At some point of time, we just seek out objects. That is when the sense organs are active. At some point of time, our prana acts. So that means the Linga Shariram always changes. The activities in the Linga Shariram or that part which is active always changes. Therefore, Linga Shariram is Chalam, volatile, changing, whereas the Atman is Achalam. Why is the Atman Achalam? We have already discussed that. The Atman is Nishchalam. It is Nishchalam because it is Vyapakam, it is all-pervasive. Since it is all-pervasive, it is present everywhere. There is no place that the Atman is not there. Therefore, it cannot move. So, Atman is Achalam, whereas Linga Shariram is Chalam. Atman is Drik, we have already discussed. Linga Shariram is Drishyam. It is Drishyam because we experience the thoughts of the mind. We experience the activities of the sense organs. I smell something. That means smell is a function of the sense organ. That sense organ is an object of I, object of Drik of Atman. Therefore, Linga Shariram is Drishyam, whereas Atman is Drik. Linga Shariram is Vikari, changing, modification. It undergoes modification. Sense organ, when we become a little old, our sense organs become weak. Therefore, we are unable to hear properly. I have my ears. External ears are only openings, it is not the sense organ. The sense organ is something which is subtle, which is not gross in nature. So though I have my external opening of my ears, yet I can't hear properly because my sense organs are not active. That means they were active and they are not active. So they are vikari, whereas the Atman is nirvikari. Avyapakam, the Linga Shariram is not all pervasive. Whereas the Atman is all pervasive. Vyapakam. Vyapakam means which is present everywhere. That means which is infinite, which is unlimited. Whereas the Linga Shariram is avyapakam. It is limited. It is finite. Why it is finite? It is limited to a particular gross body. It is associated with only a particular gross body. It can perform only specific actions. It can perform actions with respect to only specific objects. For all these reasons, it is only limited or avyapakam. And it is asad rupam. It is of the nature of asad. It is of the nature of unreal, unreality. It is unreal, it is asad because it is anityam. It is ever changing. That which is anityam is not sat. That which is nityam alone is sat. Anityam is really sat, but anityam seems to be real, but it is asat. So the Linga Shariram, which is of these qualities, tat katam syat ayam puman. Tat katam syat ayam puman. Ayam puman, this purusha. Tat katam syat, this deha, this Linga Sharira. How can that be? I am Puman, this Purusha. How can such a Linga Sharira, which is contrary in nature to the Purusha, be this Purusha? So that is what Shankara says, that the both the Sharira, the Stula Sharira as well as Sukshma Sharira cannot be the Atman because of the aforesaid reasons. The moment a person knows that the Shariras are not the Atman, then he will be able to negate the Sharira and realize his nature of Satchidanandam. Satchidananda Swarupa Atman. When he realizes that I am the Atman, it's quite simple. The world doesn't even need to vanish. We generally say that, okay, if the sorrows in the world are due to perceiving the world because of the duality in the world. So if the world vanishes, then I'll be happy. That is not the case. The problem is not with the world. The problem is with adhyasam in me. The problem is when I associate myself with the body, with the various bodies, I associate myself with the objects of the world, saying this is mine, these are my people, these are my, this is my brother. When that my brother starts, even if there are faults in one's brother, we will try to justify. The moment we try to justify, if somebody says, oh no, he is bad, that can never be. And due to that sangam, due to that association, there will be dukkam. Dukkam in various forms, like you will try to justify, you will try to support. The more and more you support a person, a bad person, you will end up in sorrow. So that the sorrow is only due to adhyasam, that I am the body. So once that Adhyasam vanishes, then a person will realize that my nature is Sachidananda Atma. And whatever exists is only an illusion. It is only Nitya. It never exists. Does it really exist? It only seems to exist. If my brother seems to exist, let him seem to exist. If somebody tries to blame my brother, let them do it. If that is the fact, if that is the truth, I will accept it. Why not accept it? Because it doesn't affect me. Whether he is good or whether he is bad, it doesn't affect me. It is like I am dreaming. I am going into dream. I have a mother, I have a father, I have a brother. And then all of a sudden another person comes into the house. He starts firing and he kills all three of them. Only I survive because I run away. So it's like trying, after getting up, a person says, oh, I lost my brother, I lost my mother, I lost my father. When the father, the mother, the brother were not real. Similar is the case with the world. So if somebody blames him, if that is the truth, I'll accept it. It doesn't matter to me. If he gets angry with me, oh, my brother is getting angry, I cannot do anything now. That is the state of ajnanam. A jnani will never be affected by the activities of the world. If the brother is angry, he will try to pacify the brother. Oh brother, this is a fact. Try to adjust. You have to adjust in the world. If after such good statements also the brother doesn't agree, doesn't accept, then the jnani will say, okay, you go your way, I'll go my way. I am always blissful because I don't care what happens to you. I don't care what happens to the world. I don't care what happens to my own body because everything is only an illusion in Brahman. What exists is only Brahman. Antar bahishcha tat sarvam vyapyan narayana stitah. Everything in the world is pervaded in and out by Narayana. Then whatever exists is only Narayana. That Narayana I am. If I am that Narayana, then I don't need to be affected. I don't need to be worried. I don't need to be sad because I am Ananda Rupam. When I am Ananda Rupam, I'll always be blissful. When I am always blissful, then that is what Vedanta calls as Jivan Mukti Moksha. Whatever is the activity, whatever happens in the world, whatever is happening to me, yet I'll be blissful because I am not affected by it. I am just a sakshi. I am a mere witness to all activities in the illusory world. The world itself is an illusion. The activities in the world have to be an illusion. I am a mere sakshi. When I am a mere sakshi, then whatever happens, I am blissful. If tsunami comes, yet I am blissful. If Katrina comes, yet I am blissful. If my father dies, yet I am blissful. If my body dies, yet I am blissful because I am a mere sakshi. I am by nature Ananda Rupam. My nature is Anandam. I am ever existing. I never die. Therefore, I don't need to have any fear. I am Anandam. Therefore, Dukkham can never taint me because my nature is Anandam. Even as the sun, darkness cannot affect the sun, taint the sun. Similarly, Dukkham cannot taint me because I am of the nature of Anandam. When that happens, then a person is in the state of Jivan Mukti and he will always be blissful. That is the goal of negating the body from the Atman, because everything starts from the body. We'll continue in the next day. Hari Om.